Hello, pleasure lovers, and welcome to another episode on the Pleasure Talks podcast. I am so excited for today's episode because I have a really close friend that I can't wait to show you all. But as you know, the Pleasure Talks podcast is a podcast that covers everything from cannabis, sex, sexuality, fun things in the bedroom. And we are a platform for people to share their own cannabis and sex stories. So just as a disclaimer, we're not here to treat, cure, diagnose anyone, but just to share their own cannabis experiences from all different walks of life. And I'm so excited that we're now on video. So check us out on Spotify video, Apple Podcast video, and YouTube, which is really exciting. So get your bongs, joints, and papers ready, and we're gonna do a really juicy episode. So let's dive on in. Hello, today we have the amazing Solange Burnett, the co-founder of Humble Bloom, and so much more. Come on, let's get into it. How are you today, Solange?
I'm just so happy to be here with you, Antoinette. You are such a bud in this industry and beyond. So this is a joyous podcast to be on today.
So cute. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Like, I've spoken on multiple panels with you, I guess, at this point on cannabis and sex. And we always are dropping gems. And, you know, we're such good friends now. We've been in so many different cities together. So I knew you had to jump on the podcast. So happy that you're here, too. So I know all about you. But, you know, our guests, you know, let us know, what's a weed auntie? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am Solange, as she said, and I've been working at the intersections of cannabis, well-being, and community building for a long time. And community building can happen in so many ways, but really through, you know, creative activism, music, art, just creating experiences where people can meet each other and connect and grow and bloom and be their authentic selves. So weed auntie, when I entered the cannabis space about 5 years ago, folks started lovingly calling, or maybe we hinted at, like, myself and Danielle being weed aunties, and, you know, other folks out in the community who give unwanted opinions and education moments, but that people learn to trust and really come to you for advice. And as, you know, the pandemic happened, that started increasing, where folks would just reach out to me and ask me, what do you suggest for my father who has arthritis? Like, can you tell me what products you should use? And I want a Black-owned brand. Do you have any ideas of who can do that? Or I have fibroids and I saw you posting about your fibroids. What products are you using? Do you think that one's good? Just like, people were coming to me asking for advice. And so I took that and started running with it, and just calling myself weed auntie. And I think what's really important about aunties, you know, there's like Rich Auntie Supreme and there's other aunties right now in this space, is that we're creating containers. We don't have kids. We're making community and we're caring for our community rather than an individual or a couple folks in our home. It's more oriented towards the broader population and realizing that there is real value and importance in, you know, sharing knowledge, in normalizing things, in making folks feel accepted and valued and heard. And like, I think of my auntie Jessie, for example. She actually is the auntie in a way who's really inspired me to go forward with this weed auntie energy. In Massachusetts, pre-legalization, she was growing. And don't be mad at me, Aunt Jessie. and she was growing in the backyard, and a postal worker saw that she was growing and was like, is that weed back there? And she's like, no, that's not. I don't know what you're talking about. And then she dug up those plants, brought them inside, and was growing them inside the house. And this, as I said, pre-legalization, and for her son, who, you know, loves weed, and she wanted to provide it for him inexpensively and organically and know that it's growing from somebody who cares. So currently I'm growing at home. I give my weed away when I grow it. Just loving here friend, here person at the coffee shop, here whoever I have relationships with. I'm developing a line of merch to make that an opportunity for everyone to be proud to be a weed auntie. And I think just, you know, walking around in this vibe of education and love and assistance for others, and living more of a selfless than a selfish existence.
I love it. See, this is why I had to have her on the podcast, guys. I love you. We can all use a weed auntie in our life, and community is so important to the culture and this industry. And I find that we're always trying to make sure that we can bring the community together because it's hard, especially hard even after legalization when it comes to restrictions on lounges, restrictions in consumption in public. So I love absolutely everything that you do and everything that Humble Bloom does as well. Wow.
Yeah. I think one other thing I just wanted to add is I think that like aunties teach us things around like sustainability and, you know, reusing mm-hmm. and being resourceful. And that is something I also aspire to do, is really share and help to like plant those seeds of knowledge, those kernels of wisdom of like, oh, maybe I shouldn't just buy single pre-rolls and like toss the pack. Maybe I should try to grow myself. Maybe I should support my serve in the legacy market instead of going to this big box dispensary that really doesn't care about our community, you know, just planting those seeds of sustainability environmentally as well as community wise.
Yeah, sustainability is a huge part of the industry, but every industry right now, just because of the state of the climate and the planet. So I love that you're tying it into our industry, because I feel like the cannabis space could be so incredibly wasteful when it comes to a lot of packaging, just to be compliant in a sense. But Humble Bloom is so smart, where we can really bridge the gap between consumers and manufacturers, and also bring in culture in those really hard conversations too. And I want to talk about the pleasure sessions that Humble Bloom did recently, because that's so cool. Obviously, us at Pleasure Peaks and the Pleasure Talks podcast, that's everything we're about. So we want to know, what would that look like? Well, what did that look like in New York City with you?
Yeah, so I think what we really wanted to show people is pleasure is not simply erotic and sexual, mm-hmm. that, you know, pleasure can be expressed or felt through various outlets. And we also wanted to integrate cannabis and sex specifically, to show people, because there are folks, we had people who were, you know, going to the White House to talk about sex worker rights that were at our experience. We had sustainability and environmental and climate justice advocates at our event, you know, and then, you know, folks that were like, I can't pay for this, and had to apply for our Fair Play Fund so that Etain, the only woman founded medical dispensary in New York, paid for 20 folks to attend, regardless of their income. So this pleasure session, we targeted brands that were primarily women-owned, BIPOC, queer, so kind of like this Black, Brown, and queer BBQ energy to fill our vendor space. So they were selling intimacy products that were cannabis-related and not. They were selling chocolates, just different things that exude joy and happiness and the opportunity to indulge. And also, we wanted to make sure that it wasn't this commercial energy that's so cis heteronormative of, oh yeah, you just buy these things and you go on a date and have a dinner and there's Valentine's Day, you know?
romantic.
Yeah, super romantic. Thank you, Hollywood and the culture. So instead, we communicated that this is an experience for you to come solo, partnered, or with the group. Bring your friends, be by yourself. You will meet folks. And it was one of the most kind and caring containers that we created. So it was about 4 hours. We had gift bags filled with delicious treats, like vibrators from Dame, intimacy oils from Quim. We had aloe vera based intimacy oils from like Desert Harvest. There were joints and pre-rolls from, and we do this when we believe in the products. So there were joints and pre-rolls from, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on their names right now. Oh, Drew Martin and Stone Road, which are both queer owned brands that are based in California. So we're like getting people to taste these brands through our gift bag or our pleasure pack. And then the event had activations sprinkled throughout it. So you could make sensual candles with Sincerely Bade. You get tattooed with Uriel Winfrey. You get massaged by, you know, so it was an opportunity for exploration instead of sitting passively or just doing that, the general rigmarole of like what this commercial day is.
Wow, that's incredible. So interactive for, you know, that's such like the New York experience, really like pulling you into that moment. There's nothing like that here in Canada that I say that I could ever been to, but that sounds like a fun time and amazing so partners.
Good. And I forgot like DJs, it was entertainment. We had two incredible DJs, Eleni and Sunny Chiba, both women, one is queer and brown and Puerto Rican, you know, like we made sure that we had a harpist, a Black incredible harpist. Her name is Aviva, and she also sang, a poet. So it's like, let's support and amplify these incredible individuals who really care about, you know, just creating soundscapes for you to indulge in, for you to listen verbally to words that affect you and impact you in this indulgent moment.
That's amazing. Yeah. And, you know, you as the weed auntie, and I find that you mentioned a lot of different mediums, even at the pleasure sessions, from joints to oils to toys. There's so many ways that you can enhance pleasures within the bedroom. So for us, we're definitely curious, what are some tips from a weed auntie from, you know, favorite ways to use cannabis in the bedroom? What are your tips that you would go to?
Okay. So I think, first of all, it's before you even get into the bedroom, you know, it's like, how is your partner, if you're with a partner or if you're soloed, like, what are you trying to experience? It's like, how much time do you have? What's going on, you know? But for me, I integrate cannabis primarily through lubes. And I mentioned Quim already, but they have an incredible lube called Smooth Operator that is also great with latex. So you can slip that condom on, no problem. And, you know, some of these MCT oil-based lubes, they degrade the latex. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to have Quim as an ally to make sure she stays wet down there, and also increasing my orgasms. Definitely am a multi-orgasmic chick and feel very lucky to be. When you hear folks talking about how they have trouble achieving climax, those tools are really helpful. So if you are having trouble, I would do that. I also integrate vibrators and other toys to help achieve that, whether solo or partnered, because it's just fun to play. Also, like, let's obviously smoking. I smoke so much weed. So like, there's a lot of weed smoking that's happening leading up to and like after, post everything. I sometimes need it to ground as well as to get going. It's just here to regulate, right? So all of the, whether it's puffing or it's rubbing, weed is definitely integrated. I also have used intimacy oils, and that are drops that you can use to stimulate nipples and to just rub on your skin so that you feel that sensual touch and get those endorphins going. Also have used, I love massage. Everyone wants a massage. I need one right now. So I think that is folks to rub my body out with CBD or THC topicals as well. So weed in all forms is welcome in the weed auntie boudoir, rather.
I love it, right? Like, it's all great. I haven't met a cannabis product in the bedroom I haven't met yet, to be honest. I'm definitely biased. You know what's so funny? I'll tell you a really funny quick story, but I tried RSO in the bedroom the other night because Yeah, Rick Simpson oil. Yeah, so Rick Simpson oil is probably like one of the highest forms of cannabis oil that you can get. It's named RSO oil after Rick Simpson, a man who was able to get rid of his cancer on his skin. He had dermatology cancer, don't look him up, Rick Simpson. But he's a very well-known Canadian activist for cannabis, and he ended up giving up tons of RSO oil for free across Canada for raising awareness on natural alternatives for cannabis. I have, unfortunately, a friend of a friend who's battling cancer. So the first thing I did was get some Rick Simpson oil. And I was like, try this. You know, I love you. I'm not a doctor or anything, but, you know, I would love to give this to you. And I was like, you know what? My stomach is always hurting all the time. Maybe I'll just use some for myself. So I got one for myself. And personally, like I can never like sleep fully through the night. So I've been taking it right before bed because obviously it has a high percentage of THC. I'm actually scared to get too baked, even as an everyday consumer when it comes to RSO oil. So I used RSO oil and I put it on my finger and I licked it off and I tried to get it off and it was so thick that it was so hard to get off of my finger. It almost felt like I was harvesting. You know, when you harvest your flower and your hands just get so sticky. And yeah. It's like, you can't even wash it up with soap, alcohol. Like, there's just nothing.
I have made that bad decision to like not use gloves when I've been trying to use it. You're like, what is happening?
We're like, it's cute. It's fine.
Shows right? That I love weed. I'm committed.
So I found that same effect on my fingers. I couldn't get this RSO off a little bit, you know, the last bit. Anyways, I went to bed and I had a little bit of fun before actually passing out. So, you know, me and my partner are doing the thing, ended up, you know, touching myself down there, wanting to get a little bit more lubricated. And I swear I had like such impactful orgasm that I haven't had in a long time. I was like, this is amazing. I love cannabis in the bedroom. I've used so many cannabis lubes, oil, you know, water-based, but RSO, I've never tried in the bedroom. And that was a really fun experience. So yeah, I just wanted to share with you, there's so many ways that you can use cannabis in the bedroom.
I'm about to look up Rick. You know, I have no idea. Thank you, Canadian trailblazer. I will check it out.
Yes, Rick Simpson's such a cool OG in the space. Look him up, guys. That's our tip for today. So, you know, the last time we were talking to you in New York City, we were like talking about our crazy dating life.
Always.
We do. Love sharing stories. So, you know, I'm sure our audience can definitely relate. You know, what are your thoughts on dating as a cannabis consumer? Because I have my own thoughts, that's for sure. So I would love to hear, you know, what it's like for you and, you know, how can we help those out there?
All of these years of smoking, like, okay, listeners, your auntie was married before. Let's just put that out there. So she was partnered and, well, to go back to the first person, I was partnered and I had somebody who did not smoke at first. And then because I did, he became more regular in his usage, as well as we had friends because we were in the music industry that were, you know, smoking a lot of spliffs. And so it became pretty normal within that relationship. Now that I've been back on the dating circle for the past like 5 years, holy crap. It has been really interesting. It's kind of like when somebody says they don't drink, but they won't judge you. And you're like, I'm supposed to sit here and drink by myself. It's a little challenging. It feels like almost naughty. It feels slightly uncomfortable. And even more so with weed, because I'm like, but this works with your body and increases, you know, your libido and makes you feel excited and more aware and energized, at least for me. And it's such a community sharing plant that I really want to have partners and people that I date be on the same wavelength, because I want to avoid that uncomfortable situation. But then at the same time, like I said, my first husband, who knows, there may be more, he got on that wave. So it is possible, I think, to shift folks, but I think there still is such an overwhelming stigma. Like, people will smoke cigarettes before they'll smoke weed, even with it being legal in New York. It's because they've had one bad experience and now they've completely tossed it aside. And then they have judgment. They're like, oh, I haven't smoked since high school or college and it was really bad. And then here I am at my advanced age, auntie age, puffing away. But it also is like an exercise, I think, for me to be more accepting of folks who aren't, and just trying. I went on a date last weekend with a guy who said, he didn't say it off the bat, and I had smoked before I left, so I didn't need to smoke while we were together.
Right? Don't we all?
I mean, yeah, don't we all? Before we left anything. We smoke, right? I brought it up to him and I showed him, because I actually had Dream Martin on me, these like botanical pre-rolls that are low dose that are not going to get you so messed up. Because as you said, it really is about dosage. Like, yes, I smoke a lot, but I don't smoke things that are 40, 50, you know, percent THC, like, regularly. It's occasional, and it's like puff, puff, and put it down. So normally it's more low dose, and I'm able to go about my life and feel the benefits without the laziness, exhaustion, or the, like, I'm going to go pass out.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, and I think I would totally agree with you, but the stigma in cannabis is still very much there in dating. So I feel like the best way to go at it is just being just incredibly open with your consumption. Cause I just think there's obviously no way around that, you know, honesty, communications, building blocks of any healthy relationship. So that's what you're looking for. Those are things that you can't get around. I find that when dating another person who's not a cannabis consumer, there's a lot of education that has to go there. And, you know, that is not, it could be fun in a relationship, but it's not always the most fun. So I find that let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You're right. The honesty and transparency is paramount. And like, if you get honest, if you're able to be honest and you don't feel judgment, then carry on, you know, and if it's not exhausting to explain and express away everything.
Completely. Yeah. I love it. I remember the first time I slept over at my current boyfriend's house, he didn't have a bong, and I let him know, if you want me to sleep over, there will need to be a going forward, because a girl can't sleep without it.
A prerequisite for Antoinette.
Oh, it is.
You
yeah.
must have a bong, babe. Don't even try it.
Non-negotiable. Okay. It's if you love me.
That is not even like you have to have weed. You must have a bong. Like, have a piece and a good one. And it better be clean when I get there.
Yeah. Right? Know your standards, right? Like, never settle. I'm a girl that never settles.
I know that.
And always, like, negotiating.
Always. But like, when people realize that you're a cannabis queen, because I obviously don't hide it in my profile either. It's like, you're probably only going to match with people who are going to be tolerant of it. Cause so I'm definitely honest within the profile from the get. It's like, I love growing these. I grow it at home. I've tried to put pictures in my profile and they've been taken down by the apps, which is really annoying. Like, I can't even share, here's me in a field of weed, cause I love being here. Because all of this, whether it's social media, all of these apps are so against this beautiful plant.
Yeah. It's so true. It's the stigma is so ridiculous. Definitely highly recommend putting it in your app. You'll be able to weed out the terrible ones very early on. Like, I remember getting first messages from, you know, matching someone being like, oh, you must be high all the time. You know, just get rid of them. Don't waste your time. Next, they can't even take care of a cannabis queen, I guess. So,
right. Next. And I mean, so I am currently in an open situation, and it's actually a first time for me doing that because, yeah, being in a monogamous marriage as my most sustained relationship. But to see that this human and other folks that I've been able to engage with intimately, you know, they like, I would share photos. It's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm doing this right now, or I'm drinking the CBD tea that I love, and I've actually used plant leaves that I've like from the my home grow as garnish, you know. It's like, oh, that's really pretty. You're like changing it for them just by living your life.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It definitely is. It's life-changing and they don't even know it. It's what we don't know is how we're limiting ourselves, which I think is the beautiful thing of exploring sexualities, multiple partners, which is the, you know, things that I'm heavily like, pro for. You know, I find that everybody should have a space in their life where they can sexually explore the most, because if you don't, how will you know what you really enjoy? Or you just miss out on a few things, which is okay to some, but you know, I say have a full life.
I agree. Have full orgasms. I, since being on this open situation and just exploring and dating people when I travel and whatever, it's like the amount of squirting this woman has experienced, I'm just like, holy crap. Like, I thought I could only if I was using cannabis products. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wow, you should teach classes, young man. That's amazing.
Right?
That in like 5 minutes. Like, that's insane.
There's so many things out there, but I think it's like the first squirt is like your first conversation, the first experience, right? So then you get to have all of these different tools that you can bring on board. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, when it comes to, you know, exploring sexualities, you know, we get baked a lot. I'm curious, have you ever had any like cannabis epiphanies about your sexual preferences or sexual identity or experiences? I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, when you sent this question along, I was kind of like, what? Like, I don't know. And then I'm like, hell yeah. Like, weed has been the lube for so much of my exploration, not actually just lube itself, but smoking the flower, sharing it with people, and then becoming intimate. I've had group sex experiences, I've had threesomes, and with women, with men, with people who were on the spectrum of like their sexual orientation as well as, you know, their expression, their gender expression. And I definitely think I would have so much nerves and anxiety and insecurity because, you know, I present as, although a lot of people do say, are you queer? Like they immediately think I am. I think because I've been married, because I've been primarily in monogamous relationships, because I have a Caribbean background, because Catholicism, because whatever, it's like, no, that's taboo, don't do it. So even if my heart wanted it, my mind would say no. Mm. And weed allowed me to break through some of those barriers to be able to explore without the, you know, stigma, the trauma, even though you know it's normal, even though you know so many of your friends are doing it too. You have this little voice in your head and it quiets the voice.
Wow. It's so true. I can just feel it. I feel like cannabis is like our sidekick, our friend that's constantly rooting for us, constantly supporting us in what our soul truly wants is what I want to say. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. And I think it's so beautiful to see in that sexual space because of all of those pressures of Catholicism society, you know, that are barred on sex when we want to explore and have fun.
Totally, completely.
Thank you.
Goddess for weed.
So I'm curious, like, you know, we go to like a lot of fun things. We travel the world talking about cannabis and pussies. Literally, it's lots of fun. So I'm curious.
Oh, God.
You know, it's true.
It's true.
But I'm curious, have you, like, what was the craziest place you've ever gotten high and had sex? Or what's the craziest, like, sex experience that you have that you would like to share?
Craziest sex experience. It was probably like five people. And we were at a party, and one girl and this guy, like I knew the couple was open, and they were like, we're trying to get this girl to join us, but like you know her. And we were literally actually like, we're plotting this.
Oh yeah.
And I was like,
That'd be
okay, like
good.
I will be the bridge that gets you that vagina. And then they were like, but we want you too. And I was like, oh wow, okay. Hair flip. So I jumped in like all the way in and had such an incredible experience that I normally would not if weed was not the conduit. And I think also just like sporadic, like fucking on a rooftop or something. It's like, oh, we're smoking blunts upstairs while people are down here. Like, let's go, you know? The
Most
only places you can get
definitely.
quiet and also be potentially watched, which is really hot.
Yeah, I love it. There's so many ways. I think
So
when it
many.
comes to crazy sexual experiences, like you mentioned or kind of touched on, they're not like they're spontaneous, right? You see an opportunity and you actually put pleasure as your priority. And you know, you try to, you know, make a play on it. Sometimes you have a few friends that'll make it up, but that's really the craziest and best experiences. So I would say lean into those spontaneous urges. You know, if you're really trying to get your, you know, sexual libido back, get back in the play, just really lead into it. Don't hold yourself back. And I think that cannabis is
And be
so good.
prepared. Be prepared and be safe. Like, I am a Girl Scout
Yes.
at heart. I am a Girl Scout at heart. I do not jump into the deep end if I do not know how deep it is. You know, if I barely know you, honey, like, I'll make sure I take condoms everywhere I go.
Yes,
Because
of
I don't trust these
course.
people, you know? I want to make sure that I can get off, but do it safely.
Let's talk about that for a bit because, you know, even when we're talking about the bedroom, we're always talking about cannabis and consent. It's always a part of the conversation. So, you know, when I think about cannabis consent and the bedroom, I think of the time where I was incredibly young once and I went over to this guy's house. For like the first time, which is obviously a huge red flag, number one. And I was like new to cannabis and I love cannabis. I love smoking my bongs. I love my joints. But this is the time when I was like into one hitters. Okay. One hitters wouldn't do anything for me now. So,
Like,
you
not a
know,
thing, right?
right?
Not a thing.
Red flag number two. And he only had a dab rig, which is to smoke cannabis concentrates. Which I've never
Ooh,
had a dab before in my
what? Wait,
life.
what? Wow,
And I'm at
professional.
this, oh, he was a really cool professional. He was a
Yeah.
doctor and loved pot. He was such a cool guy. But anyways, I was like, yeah, I can rip a dab. I'll be cool, you know, like so clean. And then I ripped a dab and then I passed out on his couch. Like literally, I passed out. I remembered waking up. I don't even remember going to bed or passing out. So, you know, consent in cannabis is an incredibly important conversation. Knowing your dosage, knowing your strain, you know, like education is key. Cannabis can be so helpful, as I mentioned, like RSO with my crazy orgasm. But, you know, when I was so new to cannabis, me smoking a high concentrate made me pass out immediately. So, you know,
Yeah,
thank goodness he
to
was such
care
a
about
good
your
guy.
partner. Even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's good for you isn't good for them. Like, let them know what they're getting themselves into. We all have different tolerance levels and different expectations and, you know, experiences. So, yeah, I am such a educator without thinking about it. It's like, okay, so we're going to use the CBD lube. This is what it does. Like, da 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 da. The first time you fuck me, you're going to find out.
And you gonna love it.
Exactly. You don't love it. You gonna have such a good time, baby. It's gonna feel tight.
It's literally the best. I love cannabis in the bedroom. Cannabis is just such an amazing tool for so many different walks of life, especially if you're, you know, having pain. It could be a really game changer, even if it's sexual anxiety, like
Yeah.
absolute game changer.
For sure.
So
And I definitely have advised friends who have vaginal dryness, or, you know, whose partners are having erectile issues, or they're not able to sustain, or just because it's getting repetitive and you feel like you need a little spice in the game at this point. It's like these things are really helpful without you getting intoxicated, because it's direct application to the area that needs the stimulation. So why not?
Why not? And give me some of that right now. So we're wrapping up to the end of our podcast, and it's been so good talking about all these podcasts.
I miss you already.
RSO, and hopefully we'll catch up soon. But, you know, let our audience know what's coming up for Solange and Cannabis Pleasure. What's coming up for you and Humble Bloom?
So Humble Bloom is, we have put together a deck of all of the experiences that we want to do throughout this calendar year. Pleasure Sessions was just our first one. We're hoping to have a couple affinity sessions. Hate to be so polarizing and use like binaries, but a men and a women session. And of course, non-gender and non-conforming can get in wherever they fit in and wherever they feel the most safe. But we're planning on doing these two experiences. We've been partnering. We just started a partnership with the Moxie Hotel. And our first event was at the Moxie in the Lower East Side. We're going to see the Moxie in Williamsburg that's opening soon. So we're very excited to start that partnership, or truly just dig into that partnership. We also just spoke to a farm today about potentially doing another field trip and taking people on a cannabis retreat in New York, now that things are legal here, to really show folks these plants growing, because to grow her is to know her, and we should respect and love the people who put so much time, energy, and, you know, just dedication into the plant and making sure that we get our medicine. So very excited to work on that. And also I'm really starting to turn those gears for the Weed Auntie merch and this line of things that I just want to share with the world to infuse that community cannabis energy with Weed Auntie goodness.
I can't wait. So if you're in New York City, you guys definitely got to check out if Humble Bloom is having an event. The Williamsburg, the Moxies in Williamsburg is so cool. Williamsburg is such a hot and fun place right now in New York City, which is so like the best. Where can our audience find you on Instagram?
Yes. So you can find me at Solange Burnett. So SolangeBurnett on Instagram and .com. And I wanted to say, I'm also doing like cannabis and wellness experiences. I just did one with Lululemon, and it's a series that I started at Soho House. So next month I will be there leading breath work and integrating cannabis, and just reflecting our community in the practice of well-being and cannabis entrepreneurship.
Good for you. Shout out to Lululemon. Lululemon has been so positive in supporting the cannabis space. Like, I love that they've really been open to working with cannabis. I remember working with them a few years ago. So I'm always so shocked, because like how a big company can have impact in the cannabis space is really, really beautiful.
Yes. And I really hope they do more, because I felt like it was a mainstream moment, and I think things should be a movement, not a moment. It's like one thing to do a one-off because, oh, it's Black History Month and Weed Auntie does wellness too, so we'll bring her in. But how can it be more sustained practice of destigmatization and normalization for this wellness community that traditionally, not now, but before, was quite sterile and homogenous from body type and, you know, economic situation and race and sex and all these other things. How can we make it more, you know, attainable and accessible for folks who look like you and me, and folks who have different body sizes, and folks who are just like, okay, maybe this is too fancy for me. This is a way for many folks who use this as medicine to start to get into wellness in a different way.
Yeah, that's beautiful. They can do so much And you did mention the retreat in New York, which is super cool. I wanted to share with our pleasure lovers that Pleasure Peaks is also doing a cannabis and sex retreat, which is so much fun in Jamaica. So make sure to get on our wait list. So the wait list is on our website. So we have two dates we're working on, one for July and one for September. We're trying to create two different retreats just so we can make sure that it's accessible to everybody. And yeah, there's very different things that we can do. We're also trying to put Portugal on the board. So get on the wait list on our website if you would like to join us. This has been such a great episode, Solange. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any last words for our listeners?
I'm coming to Jamaica with you.
Let's go.
That's yes. It. Like, that's manifest it. That. July, you said? I'm coming.
How do yeah. I do cannabis. Cannabis on site as soon as you arrive. We get, you know, drivers to and from the airport. We have cannabis massages, cannabis aphrodisiac infused dinners. It's all around pleasure. And we have a sexologist as well joining us who uses cannabis in our practice. So she's very mindful. And I am so excited. We need more travel and pleasure in our lives.
We do. Thank you for creating that for us. I can't wait.
Of course. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, until next time, pleasure lovers, we'll see you then. Ciao.